Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's a question for you. When does the church celebrate the birth of Jesus? That's a silly question. You're probably telling yourself. Everyone knows that we celebrate Jesus' birth on Christmas, and that is true. However, in the early days of the church, that actually wasn't such a simple question, because there were actually 2 days that the church would celebrated Christmas and Epiphany. You may have heard a little more about the so-called Orthodox Christmas, which is on January 6th and 7th. More recently, what with the Ukraine war. But over time, the church decided to celebrate the birth of Christmas on Christmas, or birth of Christ on Christmas, there we go. And what about Epiphany? Epiphany, which comes 12 days after Christmas, at the end of the Christmas season, the 12 days of Christmas comes after Christmas, not before Christmas. But Epiphany is when we celebrate how Jesus appeared to the nations. The Magi, wise men from the East, come to worship Jesus in Bethlehem. The light of Christ then shines out from Bethlehem onto all of Judea and beyond into the whole world, that the nations come to Jesus, and Jesus has come for the nations. The light of the world enlightens all nations. And our reading from Isaiah today declares this loudly: arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And none too soon does that light come. Is, of course, the biggest thing that we notice at this time of the year is just how dark it is. Just this morning, I was sitting in my office thinking, oh, I have plenty of time until church starts. It's still pitch black out. It was 7:30. The winter solstice is past, at least, but it still stays dark far too long into the morning, and it gets dark far too early at night. We seem to live more in darkness than light, even now, a couple of weeks after the solstice, after the days start getting slightly longer. Seasonal affective disorder is something that doesn't just affect a few people. A lot of people feel this kind of weirdness or malaise or depression at this time of year simply because it is dark so long. I wonder why alcoholism is such a problem the further north you get. Fear of the dark is one of our oldest and most common fears. Not necessarily because it is dark, but because of what can happen in the dark. And of course, this is an image of what our world is like. The world in which we live is one that has been darkened by sin, one where we look around and so often people cannot see what is going on right in front of them simply because of sin. People sit and fester in that darkness. For all, who knows what could be hiding in the darkness of sin in our world? And yet, there are some people who prefer that darkness over anything else. The sin, the evil, that feels more comfortable to them than allowing that darkness to be dispelled by light, to allow that those things in the darkness to be revealed. I want to do what I want, to do what feels good regardless of the consequences. My alcoholism, it isn't really a problem if I sit here and ignore it. I'm not ready to have children yet. I don't need to get married to have some fun. These are the kinds of things that hide in the darkness. John chapter 3, Jesus says, "The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil." There are even people who shy away from the light because it exposes their sinfulness, and the church is not itself immune to this either. So much of Christianity today has devolved into this feel-good pop spirituality where it's enough to just be happy, be content with what you have and who you are. It doesn't matter what you are doing. A religion that is all about acceptance, man. Now, this is a spirituality that revels in the dark, that finds comfort in the darkness. But this is not Christianity. Christ is not about finding comfort in the darkness, but about driving away the darkness and exposing those things that are hiding in the darkness. However, the Lord has come to shine the light into that darkness, to drive away and expose all of the evil things that the darkness hides in our world. And that is what Epiphany is about, the appearing of the light that shines into the world to expose all of the things that hide in darkness and drive them away. When the light comes, it does indeed reveal all of that sin, all of that death, all of that evil. The light exposes the sin. You cannot hide your secret sins in the presence of the light. The light reveals all. The devils, the temptations, everything that is hiding in the darkness, it could not hide any longer once the light had come. Demons lost their power, death was undone, evil fled before the light. The light exposes the evil, and yet it also cleanses away all of that evil. Now, the great danger in the darkness is not the darkness itself, but what you cannot see in it. The things that creep up on you when it is dark, when you cannot see them. Once we see all of those things that are hiding in the darkness, they all lose their power over us. Your sins, they only have power over you for as long as you hide them away in the dark and do not allow the light to reveal them. That is the great blessing of confession and absolution, and especially of individual confession and absolution, is that it reveals those things and brings them into the light. That's why we begin our services with confession and absolution, and that is why we offer individual confession and absolution, to speak your sins, to get them out of the darkness, expose them to the light, and then let the light of God's grace and mercy take those things away from you. Speak it, and it loses its power over you. The radiance of the Lord, it shines all around us, ridding us of all the dangers and fears of the dark. Because in the light of Christ, we walk as his people. We do not stumble around in the darkness, but instead we walk in the light. Now imagine that you are walking or you are driving just before the dark. It is all darkness around you. Maybe you have a flashlight or you have your headlights on, but they're not that bright. But then it is all darkness around you. But then off to the east, you see a faint golden glow. Suddenly you can see everything around you just a little more clearly. You can see where you are going. You can see and avoid those dangers right in front of you. That is the coming of the light of the Lord. This is what draws people into the light. all the nations, Isaiah says, all the nations will come to the Lord to live in his light. The nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. The peoples that Israel had despised and rejected, these are the very people that God told his people not to deal with. These are the people who are being welcomed into God's presence. And these are the people who are coming to worship the newborn Jesus, these nations that are outside of God's people. The nations that had rejected God's word, who had oppressed God's people while walking in darkness. But now the light has dawned. Now these people are coming to learn God's law, to live in his light, to receive God's blessings. What an incredible turn of events this is, that Israel, despised and rejected, has been enlightened by the Lord, and even now that light attracts those who had previously despised him to bask in the Lord's glory. The coming of the wise men to worship the newborn Jesus, that was only the first stage of God's glory going out into all the world. Wise men from the East, men who had learned about the coming Messiah from bits and pieces of Old Testament prophecy while likely living in the old Persian Empire, they saw a star, a light, which they followed to its origin. And what did they find? A small child, little different on the outside from any other child. But this child was the light of the world, a light which had drawn them to the brightness of his rising. Jesus here is the light of the world. He is the bridge between God and man. He is a bridge between peoples as well. Jesus, in his ministry, in his lifetime, he went to the Canaanites, to the Samaritans, to the people that the good Jews did not consort with. He welcomed Romans and Greeks. All nations saw the light of Christ, and all nations came to receive his blessings. And God's light also brings other people into God's presence, even among us today. Not everyone who comes into this church building looks like us, and that's okay. Not everyone who comes here is a lifelong Lutheran, and thank God for bringing the nations to us, bringing all peoples into his family. Everyone who comes through these doors comes to see the light, to walk in the light, to live in the light. The light has come. That is what Epiphany is about. The light has come into the world. God's glory has been revealed. The nations have flocked to see him. He has given his blessings to the people. Blessings that are for us who are his people. Blessings that he also offers freely to all people. For all people to see him. For all people to walk in his light. For all people to radiate out into the world, shining his light for others to see. As John says at the beginning of his gospel, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.